Chapter 13. The River Moonstone house had nowhere to hide, so I ran up the stone steps to the surface, jumped from the last step, and landed next to the Moon Princess statue. Blood pounded in my ears, and I pushed the stone that would close the secret passageway to the cultivation room. The entrance closed, and I whirled around to look for my women. If those fucking thieves had come back! Then a giggle pierced through the deafening sound of my heart thudding inside my chest. I stopped and scanned the gardens. Flowers and trees took up most of my view, but then I saw a flash of magenta hair. About a quarter mile down the path, Mariah and Naomi wandered along talking and laughing, so I breathed a sigh of relief and jogged to catch up with them. As I got closer, I could hear their conversation.
And Aliona is going to be his wife, so one day they will rule Rama together,
Mariah explained.
But we are sisters of the heart, and will always be with them.
Will we all live together?
Naomi wondered.
When they rule Rama?
Of course. We're family now, and we'll live in the palace. Even the Lunar Palace already has some of our rooms done, and I know Lord Evan will be thrilled to make more for the rest of us. He loves making us happy.
The Dryad's room is so beautiful. Will all our rooms look like that?
Well, each one is fit for the woman,
Mariah said with a smile.
Laika's room holds her weapons, as she is a warrior, and Ravi's room has a place for her to rebirth when she needs to. Valera even has a balcony, so she can easily fly out of her room. We are not the same, and we're lucky to have Lord Evan, who understands and loves our differences.
I didn't really understand love before last night. I've never been in love before, but the bond we all share is so strong and clear. I feel like I'll never want anyone else, like my soul is tied to his. It's just amazing.
The soul bridges. They're unlike anything I've ever experienced in my centuries of existence. They bind us to Lord Evan and to each other, and it's amazing. I hope one day we can all see them in his spiritual sea.
What's it like there? I've never seen anyone else's but my own.
It's beautiful. The water is calm, the sand is silky smooth, and as Lord Evan's magic and mind expands, so too does that world. It's heavenly.
I love to go there. It sounds so much more intricate and beautiful than mine.
I hope to take you all there someday, I interjected, and both women jumped at the sound of my voice.
Oh, my lord!
Mariah gasped as she whirled around.
We didn't know you were awake.
Well, you could have left a note, I teased. I came looking for you two, so I'm glad to see you weren't kidnapped or something.
Oh, we're so sorry,
Naomi apologized, and her cheeks flushed almost as dark as her hair.
I've had so many questions about the Seraglio, and we didn't want to wake you up, so we came out here to talk some more.
It's okay. I had a lot of questions at first, too. I want you to ask everything and be happy.
Lord Evan, I'm the happiest I've ever been.
The scaled woman gushed.
I want nothing more than to make you and my sisters happy. Though I am very excited about the future baby's part. I can't wait to have your child growing in my womb. Can you imagine a lizard dragon baby?
Images flashed through my head of a smaller version of myself with black and magenta scales and Naomi's amber eyes. It was indeed a cute vision, and I wanted to give her more of my seed to make it happen. My egg with Valera was a more natural instinct to repopulate our species, but there was plenty of my dragon seed to fill each of my women several times over, so I had no problem fulfilling her wishes. He or she will be a one-of-a-kind creature, I agreed with a smile.
I can't wait.
Naomi clasped her clawed hands together as her own smile lit up her face.
I never imagined myself as part of a harem. But this is more than just concubines and consorts. I've seen many of those women live sad, empty lives. But I feel so loved and so in love, like one of the characters in the fairy tales.
And it just keeps getting better, I winked as I offered my arms to the women. We should get back to the palace. We've been gone all night. The others are probably wondering where we are. My lovers slipped their arms through my waiting elbows, and we moseyed down the walkway back toward the Lunar Palace. We passed through the housing area and I was elated when I saw families outside playing and hanging out again. A family of bird demi-humans flitted around their front yard while a group of all kinds of children played ball in the road. Now that the thief was gone, my people felt safe, and I would always take care of my people. My inner dragon roared at the idea of building a pack to protect, and a proud grin stretched across my face. As we walked into the palace, Aliona, Alia, Lyca, and Valera jumped up from their seats in the great hall.
Oh, we're so happy to see you!
Aliona bubbled as she hurried over and wrapped her arms around me before she turned and squeezed Naomi.
And you, my sister.
You know already?
Naomi asked with wide eyes.
Of course, silly.
The princess giggled as she stepped back to smile at Naomi.
We all felt the new bond with you last night. That's why we weren't worried when you three weren't back after the party.
Oh.
The lady lizard blushed and averted her gaze.
You have nothing to be embarrassed about,
Aliona assured, as she turned Naomi around to face her again.
As we add to our family, the love is not split up or divided. Instead, it grows like a tree with many branches. Lord Evan does not love me less because he also loves you. We all love each other and share a bond no one else could understand.
It's actually kind of nice,
Valera added, and I raised my eyebrows in surprise.
I've never had a mate before, and the love that comes with this is more than I could have ever thought I'd have.
M'lady, I'm honored,
Naomi whispered.
The honor is all ours,
my fiancé said with a heavenly smile.
Now, let's get you three fed.
I'm always down to eat. What's for breakfast?
Ha ha, it's lunchtime, my lord,
Alia giggled.
You've been gone for a while,
Lyca added with a wolfy grin.
Oh, my,
Mariah sighed and blushed.
We must have been very tired.
I tend to do that to my women, I smirked, and my lovers giggled with agreement. After a moment, we all headed for the dining hall, and several pans already lined the table for us to start eating. Forsyth had baked the leftover duck meat from the party into some kind of casserole with potatoes, carrots, and squash. The dishes were covered with cheese that had melted into the rest of the casserole, and the servants followed the casserole pans with huge bowls of buttery noodles. Then Forsyth and his cooks brought out another set of bowls with a thick caramel-colored broth, and as they set the bowls on the table, I furrowed my brow with confusion.
I think you mixed them together,
Alia whispered as she motioned toward the food.
Like a soup.
Okay, I muttered, as I scooped noodles and casserole into my bowl and then ladled the broth over the top. It looked like a mushy, weird mess, and I hesitated to take the first bite. For once, I waited for everyone else to start eating, and my women mixed all the ingredients together before they took bites. So I followed suit and mixed mine up, though I was still unconvinced about this meal. Then Lyca closed her eyes and let out a soft groan as she tasted the first bite, and Forsyth grinned as the rest of the women sighed and nodded while they ate. Okay, it couldn't be terrible. So I took a bite, and I couldn't hold back my own sigh at the delicious combination of flavors. The casserole and pasta were amazing together, but the sweet juice made it all perfect. The concoction was tender and flavorful as it dissolved on my tongue, and I looked up to see the dear demi-human chef had a wide smile across his furry face.
"You approve, Lord Evan?" he asked.
This is delicious," I replied after I swallowed the bite. "What is it?"
"I haven't named it anything," Forsyth answered. "It's one of my many unique recipes, my lord."
"Well, I definitely like this one," I chuckled. "Feel free to continue experimenting."
"As you wish."
Forsyth nodded and gestured to one of the servants, who rushed forward with a jug.
"Wide."
"Oh, no."
Alia groaned, and Forsyth looked offended for a moment.
"Oh, I don't mean anything bad, dear Forsyth, but we, felt its effects strongly this morning. My head was pounding as though it was being hit with a hammer."
"Mine too,"
Lyca added with a grimace, and the other women nodded. "I can't imagine why," I laughed, as all my lovers blushed. "You all had about 5 cups each, and that was before I left for the night."
"Oh, my,"
Forsyth gasped.
We will work diligently on a solution for this. We cannot produce a wine that leaves one feeling terrible.
You can make a wine without a hangover? I raised a curious eyebrow.
We have our ways, my lord.
The deer chuckled and lowered his head carefully, so his antlers wouldn't hit anything.
Enjoy your lunch. Perhaps I'll name it after you.
Cool, I chuckled and took another bite.
Thank you, Forsythe,
Lyca called out with a grin. The head chef smiled and returned to the kitchen just as Ruslan and Julia waltzed through the door to the dining hall, and my mother had a sparkle in her eyes as she peered across the room at Naomi and smiled. As they walked by her chair, Julia put her hand on her shoulder, leaned down, and kissed the lizard mage on top of her head. Naomi's cheeks blushed as she squeezed Julia's hand before my parents continued down the table, and I blinked in shocked confusion. How in the world did my mother already know, too?
"Well, we got here just in time," my father commented, as he guided Julia to her seat and looked over the meal. "This looks interesting."
"It's really good,"
I mumbled around a bite of the casserole creation. "Trust me, I know my food."
"I suppose we'll give it a try, then,"
Julia chuckled as they made their plates. They both ate a cautious first bite before they figured out it was delicious and shoveled more of the concoction into their mouths. The unnamed mixture would probably become a new favorite in the Lunar Palace.
So, my son, as much as we love having you home, I assume it's only part of your journey,
Ruslan wondered after a few minutes.
You have more stops on your campaign, yes?
Yeah, I agreed. We have plenty more of Rama to see before we reach the king.
Have you completed your task?
The fox asked, and I knew he was referring to the celestial triad artifacts that were currently hidden in Aliona's spatial storage.
No, I admitted. I didn't expect to fight off an entire guild and a crazy thieving mage when we arrived, but I'll go do it this afternoon. Then we'll need to head back to Kana.
And what is your plan after that?
Julia dabbed at her mouth with a napkin.
I think we'll be heading north toward Atheson, I answered. Then it will be a straight shot east to the Mihareti Mountains from there. I believe there are a couple cities between there the king wants us to see.
I suppose I didn't realize you would go all the way to one of the port cities,
my mother said with a frown. Is there something wrong with them? I asked.
I hope not,
she replied after a pause.
They've just been so isolated on the peninsula since the breach took hold. We can't be certain it's safe there.
All the more reason I should go, I countered. If they need help, I need to help them.
I know. I'm fairly certain worrying is part of my role as your mother, though.
Our son is brave and true, Ruslan declared with a proud smile. It'll be fine, my love. King Rodion must be thrilled with your progress so far.
He's been happy with what we've accomplished, I agreed. I just need to get this bandit issue under control, and then I'll be happy with it, too.
Oh, I almost forgot to tell you,
Aliona gasped as she turned to face me.
I found something in the archives about that.
How to get rid of bandits? I raised an eyebrow. There's a spell for everything.
Not exactly. But you said you wanted to put one of the traps at every city to catch the thieves like we did for Lord Torrin, and I think we can use a spell to at least set them up in any city we go to. It's not exactly every city in Rama like you wanted, though.
I'm listening, I said as I leaned forward.
The spell is called a duplexity,
the princess explained.
It allows us to duplicate something we've made, like the trap in Lexavo. Even magical things?
Lyca wondered.
Yes,
Aliona confirmed.
Though duplicating magic will require more power. I'll probably need Naomi and Mariah's help when we set each one up.
We would love to,
Naomi chirped.
Absolutely,
Mariah agreed. So we just do the spell at whatever city we go to, I asked. And then the same trap will be there for each one?
Exactly,
Aliona grinned.
Could we use the spell before we create the layer of mirage magic?
Naomi wondered, and Aliona looked at her curiously.
So we could change the mirage for whatever city we're in and match what the local bandits have been searching for. That's brilliant,
Lyca exclaimed as her gray eyes widened.
It wouldn't make sense to have a mirage of gold treasure in a place like Baldnova, because they barter for everything with goods like fish and water, so we could use something that is valuable to the city for the mirage. We could tailor the trap for each city. Oh, great idea, Naomi.
Aliona encouraged the mage.
You continue to surprise me with your magical understanding. It's quite impressive, especially being self-taught.
Self-taught?
Julia raised an eyebrow and glanced at Naomi.
That is indeed impressive.
Brilliant and beautiful, I agreed with a smirk. You fit right in.
Thank you, my lord.
Naomi's cheeks flushed to nearly the same color as her scales as she picked up her fork and slipped another bite of the casserole into her mouth. We need to check on Luxavo anyway before we leave, I said. Do you need anything to duplicate the trap while we're there? Bones of a chicken or something?
No, my love.
Aliona laughed and shook her head.
It's a pretty basic spell. But we should probably check in with my father before we leave. We haven't spoken to him in a few days.
Good idea, I conceded. We can go into the Great Hall and call him. Aliona nodded, and we both rose from the table to head for the next room while the others finished eating their lunches. After we sat down in the plush navy chairs, Aliona pulled her white jade hand mirror out from her spatial storage and murmured the spell to reach out to the king. The surface of the mirror shimmered and shifted before King Rodion's tired face appeared in front of us. His long white hair was tied into a messy ponytail at the nape of his neck, and his skin had begun to show signs of stress and wear. An errant wrinkle broke the smooth flow of his forehead, and pale purple bags darkened the skin under his eyes. As soon as he focused his violet eyes on the mirror, though, his face cracked into a wide smile.
"My daughter, you're faring well in Hatra?" the king asked.
"Yes, father,"
Aliona replied with a smile.
"How are things at the breach?"
"Our situation grows more difficult, I'm afraid."
His grin faded into a grimace.
"It seems more groups have decided to support the demon's cause and fight against us. The thieves had been a small struggle, but our people seem to believe we won't win this war and are jumping ship, if you will."
"No!"
The princess gasped and covered her open mouth.
"How could they?"
"Not all our people, Your Highness," I interjected. "We've secured loyalty with Kana, and later today we'll do the same with Luxavo, and we'll continue to increase our numbers." "Your confidence is inspiring, Lord Evan," Rodion said with a half-smile. "I hope you continue to produce such results. Have you hidden the items?"
The king hesitated as he referenced the relics, and I knew he was still worried they would get into the wrong hands. "We have them, but I defeated their spirits," I answered with my head held high.
"You did what?"
Rodion leaned forward, and I could almost feel his powerful, cold gaze peering into my soul.
"Defeated their spirits?"
"Yes, sir," I confirmed. "They tried to take over me, and I fought them in my spiritual sea. Once I captured each of them, I assimilated their abilities."
"I'm at a loss for words, dear dragon," Rodion said, as a look of astonishment covered his features. "I've never heard of such an accomplishment."
"It wasn't easy," I shrugged, "but it had to be done, and it will help our cause. Not only do I have these abilities, but no one else can put them together and complete the triad. I think the artifacts are useless to anyone else now."
"I agree," he said with a nod. "I imagine the only way for someone else to use them would be to kill you, and that doesn't seem to be an issue."
"Nah," I smirked. "Especially not with these new abilities. They're even more powerful than the other skills I've gained."
"I'm sure they are," the king remarked and twisted his beard with his hand. "Their magic is ancient, which almost means it can be treacherous, though I'm sure you've figured that out by now."
"Indeed," I chuckled. "The magic is incredible, but I have the power under control now. I even used it to kill this mage who tried to steal my egg."
"Ah, yes," Rodion hummed. "Word has reached us even here about a pair of dragon mates in Hatra. I've done my best to quiet the rumors, but alas, I can only do so much."
"I appreciate it," I replied with a smile. "We handled it. The Crimson Dragon had already taken care of a few attempts before we returned."
"I have no doubt about that."
The king laughed and turned back to Aliona.
"Your next stop is Atheson, yes?"
"Yes, father. However, Julia, Lord Evan's mother, is one of the elders of Hatra, and she worries the city has become too isolated since the breach." Do you know of any dangers there?
Unfortunately, Julia is correct, Rodion frowned. Many of the peninsula cities have fallen out of communication with the rest of us, which is one of the reasons why I wanted you to go there. We need to ensure they will support the crown in battle if necessary. We don't need any other turncoats to appear if the demons push through the breach.
What other reasons are there? I quirked an eyebrow at the king's phrasing.
Ah, so quick! I have received word the leader of Atheson wishes to take my place as the ruler of Rama. He has yet to issue the challenge, but his desires are known.
What?
I growled and clenched my fists.
I assume he refers to the old edict, which allowed any leader to challenge another for their seat, Rodion explained. The edict hasn't been used for centuries, but we never officially replaced it. The rumors say his followers are loyal to him rather than to me, so it might be a challenge to sway him.
I suppose we were due for a challenge, I replied with a touch of sarcasm. Lord Valen was more than happy to see us in Kana.
Ah, the admiration of the lizard family for the dragons is quite resolute. The dragons always played a heroic role in their fairy tales.
That certainly explained why Valen was squealing like a little schoolgirl when we first met. It was probably like he was meeting a celebrity.
I believe Lord Evan and I can convince the people of Atheson to choose the right path,
Aliona declared as she lifted her chin.
We were able to reunite the people of T'Kal after decades of feuding and a lack of trust in the crown.
This is true, my daughter. However, if the leader does not acquiesce, the peninsula must be removed from the rest of us.
You want us to cut them off? I raised an eyebrow. Like, physically?
Quite literally, yes, the king answered. The area is remote, but we cannot take any chances that will turn the tide of the war against us. They must honor the crown, or you must remove the entire peninsula from Rama.
Father, are you certain?
Aliona asked, and I could just see a glimmer of tears in her eyes. Don't worry, princess, I assured her. It won't come to that. We'll find a way to get through to this leader. He'll see we can take care of Rama and his people. You said it yourself. We've done well so far, and Atheson will be no different.
I certainly hope so, the king said. If not, your earthquake magic should be able to handle the problem.
Of course, Your Highness, I replied, before Aliona could respond. The princess was nervously shaking at the possibility, and I didn't blame her. I didn't want to send a chunk of land full of our people out to sea, but I didn't want to question King Rodion either. We just had to make sure we did what we were supposed to do and talk some sense into their leader, so we didn't have to act on his words.
I must return to my post, Rodion announced after an awkward pause. Let me know about Lexavo.
We will, father,
Aliona murmured. The king dipped his head and then shimmered away as the surface of the mirror returned to a reflection of our faces. Aliona's cheeks were pale and her brow creased with lines of worry, but I kept my cool for her sake. I knew she was upset with what her father had told us to do, but I needed to stay strong for her. The king was incredibly wise, so he had to have a good reason for his ultimatum. I didn't know what it was, but I was determined to figure it out. Let's get ready to go to Lexavo, I suggested, and Aliona's head snapped up in surprise.
Oh, right,
she mumbled, though she seemed to be lost in her own thoughts.
We need to do that.
Are you able to do the duplexity spell? I asked.
Of course,
Aliona replied with a shake of her head before she clenched her jaw.
I'm fine.
You're strong, and that's better than just fine, I reminded her and reached over to grab her hand. I know we can talk to the leader in Atheson. We're good at what we do, princess.
I hope you're right.
Her tough facade faltered for a second, but she pressed her lips into a resolute line and stood from her chair.
Let's go.
I nodded and kept her hand in mine as we walked back to the dining hall for the others. We're getting ready to go to Lexavo, I announced, before I turned to my dragon mate. Valera, have you even left the city since you got here?
I flew over to the city walls with you just yesterday,
the crimson dragon replied with a sarcastic smile. That doesn't really count, I smirked. Come with us. Mariah and Aaliyah can guard the eggs with Eleanor and Emily. Plus, you know nothing can get into the egg vault.
Well...
Valera started to argue and paused.
I suppose I could do that. Really?
Aaliyah gasped, and her feline orange eyes widened.
We would be so happy to take care of the eggs.
Oh, yes,
Mariah agreed, as a smile crossed her ethereal features.
It would be an honor.
Then it's settled, I declared. Let's fly.
We can fly there?
Valera asked, and a twinge of excitement colored her question. Of course, I replied with a grin. Aliona, Laika, and Naomi can ride. We'll get there even faster than with an airship.
Perfect.
Valera purred as she hustled toward the door.
I'm ready.
Okay. We'll be back soon. Have fun, Ruslan laughed as we hurried out after Valera. The Crimson Dragon was used to stretching her wings and flying multiple times a day before she lived in Hatra, but she no longer had to go hunt for her meals or scorch anyone who crossed her canyons, so she was clearly excited to get back up into the air. As soon as we stepped into the afternoon sunshine, Valera took her dragon form, and her enormous red body stretched and grew until she took up almost the entire courtyard in front of the Lunar Palace. It was easy to forget how large her dragon body was when she was in her human form, and she bared her long, sharp teeth when she grinned down at me.
I've missed my true form.
I understand completely, I chuckled as I began my own transformation. While Valera's scales were deep red, mine were black as night, with a hint of violet when the sun hit them. As I shifted, I could feel my tail and wings sprout out from my skin, followed by the spikes along my spine that gave my riders the perfect handle while I soared through the sky. When my transformation was complete, I nodded to Aliona, Naomi, and Laika, who hopped onto my back with matching smiles. I could feel their thighs tighten against my scales, and the sensation of their warm bodies on my back was enough to send a shiver down my spine. I wondered, and not for the first time, what it would be like to take one of my lovers while in my true dragon form. It would have to be Valera while she was in hers, and I imagined the amount of my dragon seed would be enough for dozens of more eggs. Focus, Evan. I shook my head and then turned to Valera, and she was still grinning as she kicked up sand and took off into the sky. Hold on, I advised my three lovers on my back, and they gripped my spikes as I spread my wings and lifted us above the palace. I looked around for Valera and realized she'd taken a loop over the city. A few of the citizens pointed up at her red body flying overhead, and she smiled down at the people. Her wings flapped lazily as she cut through the wind with ease, and then she came and hovered next to me.
Ready when you are,
she called out. This way, I said, as I gestured with my foreleg toward the city of Lexavo. Then we flew over the city walls and into the warm desert sky. This was one of my favorite parts of being a dragon. I loved flying from the moment I figured out how to do it, and seeing this world from up here was breathtaking. I soared higher, so the clouds left cool droplets of water on my scales, and the women on my back giggled as they spread their arms and enjoyed the ride. Even Valera flew up into the clouds, spun torpedo style with her legs out, and left trails of white powder in her wake. It felt like we reached Lexavo much more quickly than I'd realized, and I almost flew over the city before I noticed where we were. Down there! I called out to Valera, who nodded with a slightly disappointed look on her face. We changed course to descend closer to the city gates, and I looked for the magical box.
The trap is gone,
Aliona observed as she leaned closer to my head.
Where did it go?
I'm not sure, I replied over my shoulder. Let's find out. I flew closer to the ground and landed with a soft thud, and Valera plopped down next to me. She shifted into her human body as my other three women slid from my back to the sand, and then I took my human form and brushed the sand from my hands. When I was ready, I looked up at the guard tower and waved at the Lexavo guard in green armor, and he waved back and then opened the large iron gates. As we strolled into the industrial city, Samuel strode down the path to meet us.
"Good afternoon, Lord Evan," the army leader said as he gripped my forearm. Lord Torin was preparing to send word to you.
About what? I asked with a raised eyebrow.
Follow me, Samuel chuckled, He led us down the stone road to the metal castle and gestured for us to walk inside, and Lord Torrin stood in the great hall with Lady Meadow at his side.
"Lord Evan," the old man declared with a grin, "we're glad you've come."
"What's going on?" I wondered. "And where's the trap we built?"
"Oh, you'll want to see for yourself," Torrin replied. "Right this way."
The father and son duo sauntered down the hallway toward the vault, and I looked at my women who shared my curiosity before we followed them further into the castle.